of James and Monica Williams and their children. And we thank God for what he's doing in them. And it's been a long time since you and Slow Joe showed up at the altar in that old red building over here. It's been a long time. And you've had an interesting journey. But where Brother Williams is tonight has taken him courage and persistence and an orientation toward truth. And the fact that he is standing as an apostolic tonight, a real biblical apostolic tonight. Is a thing of tremendous value for himself and all of these that he will influence. Praise God. Because God has a way. And it's unique and it's exclusive. And people are trying to do this all sorts of other ways. But there's only one way. And it's that old Bible way. And all of the precious parts of it are connected together. And you can't pull it apart and take the sweet stuff. You got to eat the head, the legs, and the pertinence thereof. Praise God. But we're so delighted that you are here tonight. And so thankful for what God is doing in you and your family. Brother, I want you to come tonight. And I want you to take your liberty. Praise God. Now, in this house, you're always Brother James. But you got church folks here tonight. You're Brother Williams. Praise God. We love you. Take your liberty and preach.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is so awkward. My Lord. I think it was Brother Dawson. No, it was Brother Stephen. How did you feel when Pastor called you? He said, well, how did you respond? I said, I don't know what he heard on the other end of that phone, but I almost fell through the floor. Praise the Lord. Amen. I was not expecting that at all. I got a phone call and I got a voicemail. It sounded urgent. It sounded important. But I had no idea. My wife, when she can hear you on the other end of the phone through my earpiece, and she was just like, oh Lord. Amen. I am so delighted to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor Sutton was just mentioned that been a long journey for me from where I started and coming into the church and a gangster. Amen. Brother Joe and I was very, very wild. And some of you were very scared of us when we came. You was right to be scared of us. Amen. But it's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Something about that power. Amen. This has been the best thing that has ever happened to me. When God filled me with the Holy Ghost, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm not going to testify about all the drugs I smoked before I came into the church, but I'm telling you, it's better than weed. Amen. This Holy Ghost, oh, well, let me give you the more technical term, amen, the word marijuana. Amen. Some of you don't know what weed is. Praise the Lord. Brother Sutton knows what it is. Amen. It's better than alcohol. It's better. Amen. It's been 22 years since I've been in the church, and it's gotten better. It was just as good as it was then. It's even better tonight. I wouldn't change this for nothing in the world. Amen. I wouldn't change. I've known people to come into this, and they've backslidden since I've been in the church. Amen. I know people who are not teaching this anymore. That's fine. But I didn't come in it for people. I came in this because I wanted to be saved. I wanted to know God. And you know what? And I found him. And I'm not going to let him go either. Amen. You can turn your back on God, and 22 years from now, I'll still be saying hallelujah. I'll still be shouting. I will still be dancing. I will still be clapping my hands. I will still be worshiping. I will still be saying there is one God. I will still be saying the same thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I thank God for my pastor. I thank God for Pastor Sutton and working with us. We was, wow, my Lord. I understand. Amen. I got me a group now, and I understand. My Lord, it's so easy to just sit back and just criticize or be critical and all of that, but you don't really know until you're walking in those shoes. Amen. I didn't realize how hard of a time I gave you until I became a pastor. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not going to hold you too long tonight, hopefully. It's been requested of me to just preach only 10 minutes. But point of grace, no, that ain't about to happen. My... Amen. I am glad to be here, Brother Sutton. I really am. Amen. I just hope that the Holy Ghost will help us tonight. Amen. I just want to turn your attention to Romans chapter 2. I love Sister Sutton. Amen. I love this Sutton family. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 2. Amen. Romans chapter 2, and we're going to pick up in verse 25. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 2, verse 25. If you're there, say amen. If you're not, say wait on me. Oh, I forgot they got this thing back here. Praise the Lord. It said, for circumcision very, verily profited, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfilled the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew. Everyone say, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Say outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one outwardly. Everyone say inwardly. Amen. And circumcision. Everyone say circumcision. is that of the heart. Everyone say that of the heart. Amen. In spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Just for the sake of clarity, I want to read this from a different translation. Is that okay? Amen. I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version. Amen. It says, first, for circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keep the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised, everyone say physically uncircumcised, but keep the uncircumcised, but keep the law, will the law will condemn you who have the written code and circumcision, but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Amen. In the spirit. Amen. By not the letter, he praised. His praise is not from man, but from God. I'm going to preach tonight. I want you to help me tonight. It's going to get ugly. Praise the Lord. It's going to get pretty. Amen. But I believe it's going to draw us closer to God. Someone already mentioned here tonight, we want to draw closer to God. It's all about God. It's all about relationship. Amen. If you're ever gonna survive in the kingdom of God, if you're ever gonna survive as a child of God, you need to get that in your heart and mind that you are in a relationship, and it's meant for you to get closer to God. And that's what my intention is here tonight, is to bring us closer to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight we're gonna talk. I'm gonna preach to you tonight from this subject, the necessity of a circumcised heart. The necessity of a circumcised heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your goodness. We thank you tonight for your love and kindness. We thank you today, Lord Jesus, that you have kept us today, Almighty God. You've been so good to us, Lord Jesus. You've been so merciful to us, oh God. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you will help me minister, help me speak as an oracle of the Lord. I want to be used by you, Lord. I want to be an instrument in your hands tonight. Only you know what we need, oh God, and you know what to say. You know what will help us, oh God. You know what will convict us. You know what would change our hearts, oh God. And so, God, I dedicate this service to you, Lord. I yield my life to you. I yield my vessel to you to be used by you, Lord. Speak through me, oh God. Take over. Have your way today, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we leave here today, not as we came. I pray that we leave here not the same, Lord. I pray that we leave here changed, renewed, with renewed understanding. I pray, oh God, that we leave here with a greater understanding of worship, oh God, and devotion to you. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And I will forever give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Clap your hands and give God praise in the house. Amen. Come on, give God praise in the house. Amen. Come on, let's give God some worship in the house. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, we love you tonight, Almighty God. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight, Almighty God. We give you glory tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I am so delighted again to be here tonight. Amen. But I am more delighted to be in the presence of God more than anything else. Amen. If God is not in the building, I don't want to be here. Amen. But he's here, and I'm so glad he's here. Amen. Throughout the Bible and within history, circumcision has been a major component among the Jews. amen, among the Jewish people concerning their dealings with God. Amen. It has been something very important to them, this covenant of circumcision. Amen. Circumcision was first given to Abraham. Amen. And it was given to him as a token of the covenant between him, God, and Abraham. It was a sign of the covenant that God made with him. And this covenant of circumcision was to confirm the blessings of God, all the blessings of God promised to Abraham and his descendants. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's okay to say amen. Praise the Lord. You're not going to interrupt me by saying amen. Praise the Lord. The Jews would do whatever it took to maintain this covenant of circumcision. They would do anything to keep it. They would do anything to keep it. It was that important to them to keep the command. To keep the covenant of circumcision. According to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 22 through verse 24, Jesus is justifying his position for healing a man on the Sabbath. Amen. He is justifying his position for healing this man. And at that moment, he told his accusers, those who were accusing him, amen. And I paraphrase this. You are all mad at me because I healed a man on the Sabbath. But you yourselves, you, those, his accusers, you would do whatever it take, amen, to keep the Sabbath. To keep the circumcision. Y'all got to bear with me because this is strange to me tonight, Brother Sutton. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I am comfortable with what God has given me to preach tonight. Amen. This is awkward, okay? But God is good. He told his accuser, and again, I paraphrase, you are mad at me because I healed a man on the Sabbath, but you yourself would break the law of God, all the laws of God, to keep the circumcision. You have to go back and read it yourself. Because it was so important to them. It meant a lot to them. It was vital to them to keep the covenant of circumcision. Circumcision means that they would be blessed beyond measure. Circumcision means that no matter what they did, God would forgive them. It meant that God would bless them. It meant that God would provide for them. It meant everything to them, this covenant of circumcision. It was very important to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Jews pride themselves upon being those of the circumcision. You see it throughout the scripture. Those of the circumcision or the circumcision, amen, or those who are circumcised, amen. You see that repeatedly throughout the scripture to identify how important, amen, this circumcision and this circumcision was to the Jews, and that circumcision, amen, was something that they took pride in, amen. In the Old Testament, you can hear in David's tone, amen, towards Goliath, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? Amen. That you would defy the armies of the living God or the circumcised. Amen. Who are you, you uncircumcised giant? That you would defy the armies of the circumcised. Amen. That's the tone. Because it is so important to them, Stephen. Amen. They took pride in being the circumcision. It set them apart from everybody else. It made them special. Amen. And they knew they were special too. They knew that they were the people of God. They knew that they was God's people. They knew that they were the chosen ones. They knew it. And they did not have a problem with letting you know who they were. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the New Testament. Praise the Lord. Here we go. In the New Testament. The pride of being those of the circumcision. It was carried over into the first century church. It was carried over. Amen. The apostles, John, Peter, James, and so on, all kept the circumcision. Amen. It was carried over into the New Testament church. The first apostolics strongly believed in the physical circumcision. Amen. They still believed that it was right. They still believed that you had to be circumcised to be saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. They pride themselves upon the circumcision. They knew they were the people of God. Amen. It was so bad, Pastor, that this pride, I would just say bad, is because they never thought that Gentiles could be saved because of the circumcision. They never thought that God would be interested in Gentiles. And so they were astonished in chapter 10 of Acts at the outpouring of the Holy Ghost upon Cornelius' family. Amen. The Bible tells us that chapter 10 and verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believe were astonished that the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the Gentiles. Amen. Because they never thought that Gentiles could be saved. They thought it was all for them. They thought it was just them. They were the special people. Amen. And Gentiles could never be saved. In fact, it was so bad. Amen. In my opinion, that in the very next chapter, we see that Peter is being confronted by apostolic brethren. We have heard that you've been dealing with the Gentiles. Amen. We've heard that you've been fellowshipping with Gentiles. And so Peter had to go through all of this thing about how he saw this vision and four-footed beasts and all of this stuff. And he knew that God had sent him to this family. And at the end of the day, you know, they went on and agreed with it. But they was still skeptical about Gentiles being saved. Amen. They never, you know, you would think that, hey, if God give them the Holy Ghost, amen, if God give them the Holy Ghost, you ought to just be glad. Amen. You ought to just appreciate who God chooses to give his Holy Ghost to. We don't choose who God give the Holy Ghost to. I thank God, amen, that a man could not determine my relationship with God. Praise the Lord. If it was left up to men, I wouldn't be here tonight, because I was told that I would be dead before I was 20. I'm 42 now. Amen. And I'm still kicking. And I'm still young. In my mind. Praise the Lord. In our text, Paul is still dealing with this thing about the circumcision. Somewhere along the line, these Jews, these apostolic Jews, must have missed it. Amen. They didn't get it. They were so focused on the physical circumcision until they was trying to push this on the Gentiles. At first, they were skeptical about the Gentiles being saved. But now we see God is really giving them the Holy Ghost. And Antioch, they receiving the Holy Ghost and all of this stuff. And so they had to go on and just yield to the fact that God was really giving the Holy Ghost to Gentiles. And so now they are telling the Gentiles, well, you know, yeah, God gave you the Holy Ghost. But yeah, you've been baptized. But yeah, you still also need to be circumcised physically. Amen. And so Paul is now dealing with this subject because it won't go away. And so Paul is dealing with it. And he's telling this Gentile church in Rome, to be a real Jew is that of the heart. To be of the circumcision is a matter of the heart. It's not an outward exterior cutting away of the foreskin. And it's an inside job. You are a real Jew if you are filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of Jews in here tonight. Amen. If I come off as controversial, I'm not trying to be. If it ever come across that I don't believe in the baptism, I believe that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. But I got to make my point. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Sutton, I was praying. I said, well, God, you test his heart. What you want me to talk about? And when he said that, I said, huh? It's my first time. Brother Dawson, I'm telling you, I did what you was just saying earlier. He was whispering in my ears. You know, you get to those moments, you just want to find something else to do. Amen. And I was trying to find something else. Amen. And I said, well, you know, I'd rather be a God pleaser. Circumcision. Everyone say circumcision. Circumcision is that of the heart. It's not the cutting away of the foreskin. It's not the cutting away. That's not what God wants. And I'm telling you tonight that what I'm dealing with is relationship. I'm letting you know right now, it's all about relationship. That's what this is all about. Amen. Those of you that have been recently baptized in Jesus' name or whatever, amen. I'm telling you, God wants more than your baptism. He wants more than you just getting your sins washed away. He wants more than you just being filled with the Holy Ghost and getting a good feeling. He wants more than that. He wants a relationship with you. Amen. He wants a relationship with you that will go throughout eternity. He wants an everlasting relationship with you. And if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to go down in the water and be baptized in Jesus' name. So at any moment that you feel like I don't believe in the baptism in Jesus' name, you're wrong. I believe in it 100%. I baptize in Jesus' name, and I believe you need to do it exclusively in the name of Jesus. I believe that baptism is essential for your salvation. You cannot be saved without being baptized, and you can't just go get sprinkled. You got to be submerged in water. You got to go down in the water, and the name of Jesus has to be invoked over you, or you're not going to be in covenant relationship with God, and you will never have a relationship with God until you do so. Amen. So I suggest to you tonight, if you've never been, listen, I'm going to say this, because if you're here tonight, you've already heard about the baptism. You've heard about it. And you know that you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. But that's not necessarily what I'm dealing with tonight, Pastor. I'm dealing with a different part of the circumcision. Amen. I want to deal with you, or I want to point out something tonight about the characteristics of an uncircumcised heart. Amen. Oh, bear with me. I told you it's going to get ugly for a minute, then it's going to get pretty, then it's going to get ugly, then we're going to probably cry. Pastor looking at me like, what in the world is he going to say? I want to say uncircumcised heart. Amen. One of the characteristics of an uncircumcised heart has to start somewhere first. It starts with the things we allow into our lives from the world, or the things we entertain. Hallelujah. I don't know what's going on around here, all right? So I'm just in the Holy Ghost, so you're going to just deal with it. The things that we entertain, the things that Pastor don't know about. Amen. After the shout. Praise the Lord. An uncircumcised heart, or someone who has missed it, like the Jews, they missed it. They were so focused on the physical part of the circumcision. They missed the part about the heart. They missed that part about the heart, the conditions of the heart, the soul of a man, the most innermost thoughts of a man. Amen. The seat of emotions, and they just missed that part. They were so caught up with the physical side, the outward exterior, that they didn't recognize that God wanted something greater. He wanted something more than an outward experience. He wanted to draw close to them, and so they wouldn't allow God in. Amen. Because of whatever reason, and it might have been the blessings, it might have been all the things that God gave them, and God blessed his people. Let me tell you something, the apostolic church is blessed. Amen. I know that for a fact. Amen. We're no different than the Jews. God has blessed us just like them. Praise the Lord. And it's so easy, though. It's so easy. I'm about to get all, I don't want to get too far before over my notes, but it's so easy to be blessed and then still bring the world into your home, to bring the world into your life. And I'm not speaking, amen, from a pastor perspective. I'm preaching from a saint that used to be on the pew perspective. I used to be you all. Amen. So here we go. I want to share one person in the Bible that I've heard him being preached so many times, and I've never heard anyone stress this portion. Amen. It's the story of Gideon. Amen. Gideon, the Bible says that he was afraid, and he were hiding from the enemy. The Bible tells us that one particular day, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon. And when he found him, this angel, the angel says to Gideon, "Thou mighty man of valor." Amen. Gideon was a coward. He was afraid. He was scared for his life. He hid, amen. But when the angel saw him, when the angel appeared to him, that angel did not see where he was. He saw him for where he was going to be. And he called him not as he was. He called him as what he was going to be, a mighty man of valor, a mighty man of great courage, a powerful man of courage. Praise the Lord. That's how God sees us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I don't mean to get negative. Praise the Lord. But the story didn't quite end too well for Gideon. Amen. Gideon, after he began to move forward in what the angel had prophesied, He conquered many of his enemies. Amen. Many of the people that was coming against all these nations or whoever these Midianites that was coming against the people of God. God gave Gideon great victories. And each victory that he gave him, amen, Gideon became more encouraged. Amen. He began to really believe that God was on his side. He began to believe every victory that he got, Brother Sutton. Amen. He became more courage. Amen. He got more courage. He became more strong in his faith towards God and his ability to do wonderful things. Amen. Gideon did an excellent job of conquering the enemy of God's people. And God gave him great courage at the end. He was a strong man of courage until we get to chapter 8 of Judges. It's a sad ending, in my opinion. And I don't want that in my house. I don't want this to happen to me. I don't want to go and live for God 22 years and then I lose it all and I give it all, amen, up because my heart is not circumcised. Amen. Somewhere Gideon had an uncircumcised heart. You don't believe me. Amen. Turn to Judges chapter 8 and verse 27. For me. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in the city, even in Ophron. Amen. And all Israel went thither and whoring after it, which things became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. At the end of all his victories, Gideon makes an ephod, which was really for the priesthood. Amen. Let me tell you something. Don't try to cover up stuff. Amen. Using God's name and you know it's wrong. Don't use God's name to cover up sin, to cover up the things, or to justify the things that you know is not right, the things that you know that is not right with God, the things that you know that God displeases. Don't use God's word. Don't use God to justify that. It tells God that you have an uncircumcised heart. These jewels that Gideon used was from the world. It was from the Ishmaelites. Amen. Ishmael's descendants. He took these jewels. Amen. And he used them to make this ephod. And the Bible says it became a snare to him and his family. And all of Israel went a-whoring after it. Can I get amen in the house? I knew it was going to get quiet in here. That word snare comes from the Hebrew word morkis. It means a baited trap. He brought a baited trap in his own house, Brother Sutton. He brought the thing in his house. He brought it in his home. And it was the very thing, amen, that caused his heart to be desensitized to the move of God, to be desensitized to all the things God had done for him and his family. Gideon had conquered all of his enemies, but now he has a snare that he placed in his home, that he placed in his life. I'm telling you, that devil don't want you to be saved. That devil don't want you to have a relationship with God. He's not impressed with your baptism. He's not impressed with you being filled with the Holy Ghost. If he can get you to bring some junk into your home. Been a long journey, Pastor. I made some dumb decisions. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. My wife probably don't like when I do this kind of stuff, but But I made the horrible mistake. I left my covering and followed something. Hey, man. And the hedges were let down. All the hedges that was built up around my life, Sister Stacy in the house. Woo! I'm sure she was over there when I was saying that we were bad when we came in. She was like, oh, hallelujah, yes. She know more than what Pastor know. I made the horrible mistake, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just say this. It was already in my heart, Pastor. It's already there. No man is drawn away. Amen. You can't say God did it. You're drawn by your own lust and your own entice. It was already in me. Pastor preaching, I'm struggling with it. Oh, hallelujah. And so I decided to leave and, you know, venture out. The hedges was let down. And I was free to do certain things. And I never forget. I decided to get cable television. I brought that mess into my house. And I never forget it. The day that boy came there, and when he plugged it up, Pastor, the Holy Ghost said, you have just made the biggest mistake you have ever made since you've been saved. But I had too much pride. Before it was all over, I was struggling so bad. You know, I was saying, you know, hey, I can just look at some of the Christian stuff. I can look at some of the good stuff. And then guess what? It got worse. I wanted the other stuff. And next thing you know, I'm not concerned no more about the one cuss word. That shook me the first time. Amen. But I became so desensitized. And I'm telling you, that devil, he's out to destroy every last drop of you. It got so bad that I didn't care about what I was watching. And I would come to church and I would worship. And I would come to church and I would pray. But I would go back home and struggle with stuff. It was so bad that my wife would come home and she would just holler out, what have you been watching in this house? I feel the spirits in this house. I feel it all in this house. What have you been watching? What have you been entertaining? She would feel it. And some of you in here know what I'm talking about. Oh, you're quiet, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I get amen in the house? Amen. Praise the Lord. Go on and say amen with everybody else. Oh, you won't stand out of, you know. Amen. Gideon did the same thing. And now his whole house is a whoring. His whole house is snared by the bait that he set. He put the bait in his house. He put the baited trap in his house. And it entrapped him. It was hard to pull out. Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that Gideon came out of that. But I'm so glad tonight that God gave me a chance to come out of it. I had transcended to the Dish Network. I bolted that thing down to my house and I was pouring in all kinds of junk in my house and it was hard for me to pull out. My wife was upset. And one night, I had a dream because I tried to get rid of the thing. I went and tucked it off. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you got it in your home, amen, you will keep it. You will continue. You got to get rid of it. You've got to get rid of it. You can't hold it around in your house. the story of Gideon would have changed if he had gotten that ephod out of his life and he removed it out of the city. If he had he destroyed it totally, it would be a different story for Gideon. Amen. I'm still dealing with an uncircumcised heart. I was so messed up, I could not pull out. I went on top of the house. I took all the boxes out. And I took them downstairs and I put them on the shelf. Three days later, my wife come on, they was all plugged back up. So I decided that I would go. I decided I'd go and just clip the wires with some scissors. I damaged it, so now I won't be able to get it. But I learned how to splice it back together. So I was addicted. It was so bad that I was unplugging that thing and plugging it back up. David was just a little bitty boy at the time. And he just came in and he said, "Daddy, just get rid of it." But I was ensnared. I was trapped. I wanted out, but I was trapped. One night I was going through there. I decided I'd just go through all the channels. I was good with that remote control. And one night, I'm flicking. And I came across Playboy. And my mind was marred. I was too smart to stay on that. But it was one of those free nights. And I had glimpsed something. I'm like, "Oh, Lord." I'm talking about an uncircumcised heart. One night I come through the house. And I got in every room now. The kids got a room. David had in his room. And I wasn't paying attention to this. I'm telling you, you can get so desensitized so quickly. It can happen so fast. You better learn from me tonight. I'm your brother. This is where I came. This is where I grew up in the church right here. And I'm telling you, what you're being taught is right. You better not fall into the baited trap. I'm telling you, it will get a hold of you, and it's hard to pull out. It's hard to get away from it. So one night I come through the house. I just got up and I was walking through the hallway and I saw David's television on. I saw the light on. I saw the glowing light. I'm like, "Well, what is television doing on this late at night?" And I walked through there. He was going through every channel. He was just a little boy. Learned it from Dad. And instantly I said, "Oh my God, I hope he did not see some of the stuff that I saw." That wasn't enough. It didn't scare me enough. It bothered me, but I was trapped. It was one night I had a dream, Brother Stephen. And in the dream, I was at my grandmother's house, and it was me, my wife, and my kids. My wife and I, my kids, and we were standing in front of her home, and I was walking out of her front door, and we was walking to the car, and at that very moment, I knew the rapture was getting ready to take place. I knew something was happening. I saw it. I knew it was from God. I knew God was dealing with me. I knew it with 100%. I knew it. And I was looking up in the stars, and I grabbed my wife. I said, "Money," I said, "it's happening. It's happening." The stars began to, it was something. I knew it was happening. I knew the rapture was taking place at that very moment. And I was so excited that it was happening. Then the flash stopped. And I looked around. My kids were still here. My wife was still here, and I was still here. And I knew I missed the rapture because I had an uncircumcised heart. And God told me in that dream, he said, if you don't get rid of that stuff, if you don't get it out of your home, you're going to miss the rapture. My wife would tell you she did not know what was going on. It was in the middle of the night. I jumped out of the bed. I said, money, I'm done. It's over. I'm finished. We're getting this mess out of our house. It's over. I'm not going to live like this. I'm not going to miss the rapture. I'm not going to miss my moment. We're not going to miss the rapture. I got up that morning. I grabbed my ladder. I slammed it up against that house. I climbed up there. Hey, amen. I pulled my drill out. I took that thing and I slung it off the house. Hey, amen. I smashed it to the ground. I went in there and I began to pull out every box. I slammed them on the ground. I threw them on the back of my truck. I hauled them to the dumpster. And I said, no more. And God began to restore me. And God began to restore my life. He began to give me my prayer life back. Hallelujah. I begin to feel God again. Hallelujah. I begin to feel the presence of God again. What time is it? Amen. Hallelujah. I need to hurry up. I thank God for a second chance. Oh, y'all sitting here looking at me weird. But some of you in here right now struggling. Amen. You better listen. I don't know what you're, Pastor don't know what I was going to preach. Amen. I didn't know what I was going to preach until God told me to preach this tonight. So if he told me to preach this, somebody's struggling with this stuff. Yes, you are. But he wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He still wants relationship with you. He still wants you. That's why I came here tonight, because he wants you to know, I don't care how bad you've got. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how far you've gone off the map. I still want you. I still want relationship. I want you to just circumcise your heart. I want you to circumcise your heart. I just want you to circumcise your heart. It's a sad story. But there's a part in the Bible in the book of Joshua. There's a part in the Bible in the book of Joshua where it says in 5 and 2, chapter 5, verse 2, it says, And at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee a sharp knife and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Circumcise them again. Amen. Oh, I ain't got time to preach on that one right there, but that's some good stuff. Amen. I'm just going to use it, amen, for my point tonight. Amen. There's a young man that I know, praise the Lord. Amen. When he was a baby, his parents had him circumcised while he was still a baby, and the thing, something strange happened, Pastor. The foreskin grew back. And so they had to take him and circumcise him again, twice. Amen. Maybe they didn't do it right the first time. I don't know, but they had to circumcise him again, twice. Amen. God is giving you a second chance tonight. I don't know who you are, but your silence is telling me who you are. He's giving you a second chance. Some things will grow back. If you don't deal with it, it will grow back. And so there are so many devices in the world. So many devices. The Bible says in the last days, men would be evil inventors. Ooh. Oh, hallelujah. It can be of good use, but it's evil too. Your iPad is evil. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's going to get ugly, and I'm going to hurry up real quick. And guess what? I'm almost close to my closing. I'm sorry, brother. I didn't meet your request. So, I said, okay. Well, I got rid of that. Amen. We got other snares out there. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just going to shoot right out. If your children don't kick, you need to kick them off a kick. It's a teenage, young people, little social media. Oh, I told you, oh Lord, it's going to get real ugly right now. They on there doing all kinds of stuff. And you are allowing them to do it. In the name of my children don't have nothing else to do. They can pray. They can study. They can wash dishes. They can clean their room. They can clean their room. It's nasty. They can read a book. You letting your children have cell phones and iPads and iPhones, you never go and look at that, what's on that iPad. I'm telling you, they're on kick. Oh, hallelujah. And they kicking everything off. Showing the world what they look like in the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Apostolic children. Apostolic kids. Grown men are responding to this mess. No, they are children. That devil don't care. He just wants you to remain uncircumcised in your heart. He wants you to remain desensitized to the fact that the devil wants to destroy you and your children. He's no respecter of persons. He wants you dead. He wants your children dead. But you got to circumcise your heart in order for him not to be able to do that. You got to let that devil know, no, you cannot have my children. You cannot have my son. You cannot have my daughter. Give me your iPhone. Give me your iPad. Don't you put a code on that thing without me knowing about it. I don't want to go to your phone. Amen. And it's a different code. It's going to get smashed. $500. Let's bust it up. Yeah, you're going to do it in the name of how much money I pay for it, but how much money is worth your children's soul? If you cannot watch something that's conducive to Christianity and productive, and amen, oh, hallelujah, throw it out of the house. If you can't handle it, get rid of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Am I all over the place? Okay. Praise the Lord. I need to close. Brother. You're not going to preach me to death. He ain't getting it, is he? I love brother. I give you what I got left. I love the Lord. I love the people of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just like the Jews, and I'm finishing here, we also pride ourselves upon being the apostolics, those who have the apostolic message, the Acts 2:38 message. And we pride ourselves upon being apostolic. We walk around with our Acts 2:38 t-shirts, and I'm one of them. We put Acts 2:38 on our car tags because we're proud of who we are. And there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. We have a circumcision as well. According to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11, amen, or 10 and 11 and 12, amen, the Bible says that we are not circumcised with the circumcision made with hands. Amen. But we are circumcised. Amen. But we are buried with him, I'm sorry, in baptism, connecting our baptism to the New Testament circumcision. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is our circumcision, and we know it. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't believe that I would get an argument or any disagreement from anyone in this building, in this church, that baptism is essential for salvation. I don't think I would get an argument from no one. In fact, I am confident that I would not get an argument from most people in here, amen, that baptism removes sin. That baptism is for the removal of sin, or it is for the forgiveness of sin. And I'm closing here. Amen. I don't believe that. But I will submit to you tonight that baptism was not solely designed to remove sin. It was not designed necessarily to get rid of sin or to remove the filthy sins of the flesh or the filthy deeds of the flesh. Amen. Most of the time when we think about our sins being removed, that's what we're thinking about. We're thinking about our sins being removed from our flesh, our worldly deeds and the things that we was doing in the world and all of that stuff. Amen. And you're partly right, but that's not entirely true. That's not the whole thing. Amen. It's not just for that only. Amen. I will submit to you, amen, that baptism was intended to remove the guilt of sin in order for us to have a pure conscience towards God in relationship. That is the sole purpose of baptism. That is the main reason for baptism. It is to get our minds right with God. To get our conscience right towards God. Amen. To get us in a frame of mind that we can worship God without the sin of guilt. Amen. Without the guilt of sin. Without being troubled by being doing things that are not right. Amen. It was to remove the guilt of sin. The stain of sin that's in your mind or in your soul or in your heart. You don't believe me? I want you to read with me, amen, from 1 Peter chapter 3, or listen to this in chapter 3 and verse 21. The life figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us. Not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. That's what baptism is for. It's not for you to get in the water and get a good feeling and then walk out of here and never live for God. No, he gave us baptism to remove it out of our minds, to remove it out of our lives, to give us an opportunity to come before him with a pure conscience so we can have a relationship, so nothing will block our relationship. Nothing will get in. Sin is the reason why we don't have a relationship with God. And so God said, I'll remove it so I can give you a better conscience towards dealing with me. It's about relationship. The whole purpose of the covenant of circumcision was about relationship.
God was longing for relationship with his people. He was longing to deal with somebody that would love him, amen, and would obey him and would serve him. And they could not do that unless they had a pure conscience. And so he gave us the circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of your emotions. He wants your emotions. Oh, hallelujah. I need to quit. Pastor, it used to be that we had the gifts of the Spirit or the gifts of the knowledge of the Spirit. I got to throw this one in here. It used to be, Stephen, that I remember vividly that the gift of the word, the gift of the, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, the gift of the word of knowledge. Amen. I remember so many times Brother Hosey being used in that way, and some of you in here being used, amen, in the gift of knowledge. Amen. I remember so vividly when Brother Sam, when Pastor Emery would come, amen, God would use him in the gift of knowledge. He knew what was going on in your life. They can walk up to you, amen. He can walk up to you and say, you did this, you've been doing that, and you say, and God was just using that gift to help that person. He came to me one night, and my eyes were bug wide. I remember it used to be that we had that. Now we have the gift of, oh, hallelujah. Now we have the gift of the knowledge of Facebook. I just lost half of my Facebook friends. I don't have to have the gift of the Spirit to know if you're struggling with something. I can just go on Facebook. I tried to do something one time. I said, you know, one of the reasons why I even have the Facebook thing, I don't really care for it. It's a bunch of junk. I said, well, seems like they're not going to get rid of this junk. So Sister Leah's sitting right there, she'll tell you. So I said, I tell you what, I want everybody in this church, if you got a Facebook page, I want you to friend me. If you ain't got nothing to hide, friend me. Yeah, I said it just like, if you ain't got, yeah, I said it right. I'm letting the brother come out a little bit. If you don't have anything to hide, friend me. I didn't get a whole lot of friends. It's so bad that they even know the pastor on there, but they still doing it. Because they trapped. You know what? You need to circumcise Facebook. Twitter. Who cares about you brushing your teeth? You know, I just brushed my teeth just a few moments ago. Who cares? Somebody care because it's loaded with people. I just brushed mine too. Y'all laughing, but it's sad. That's how bad it is. Amen. I'm all right, Pastor. I'm about to close right here. What time is it? Oh, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. Praise the Lord. One more passage of scripture, and then I'm going to leave you alone. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And I'm going to read this verse, these verses, and starting in verse 12. This is God's request. This is what God asking us tonight. This is what he wants. We are the new Israel, I guess. Listen to what it says. Verse 12. And now, Israel, What doth the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to love him, and to serve the Lord with all thine heart, or all thy heart, and with all thy soul. He wants every part of you. To keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heavens, in the heavens of heavens is the Lord thy God. The earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy father's love to them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people. Even you above all people. That's us. He's talking to us. As it is this day, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. The last words of the Lord is, cleanse your heart. Deal with your heart. He's glad that we are excited about baptism in his name. He's excited about that. He's glad about that. But I want your heart. Amen. He wants our heart. This altar is, you know, come to this altar. Lord, I'm here to circumcise my heart. I might have not matched up with everything he was talking about tonight, but I got some things that I need to circumcise. Listen, only you know what God has been dealing with you about. You know the things that you have in your life. It's just, you know, the Bible said there are some things in our lives are just weights. We're not even dealing with the hardcore sin. Some things are just weights. And God is dealing with us. He's dealing with our hearts. Circumcise your heart. Be no more stiff-necked. Amen. If your heart is closed to me, we can't have relationship. The only reason why you're not walking uprightly, the reason why you're not serving me with your whole heart, the reason why you haven't served me is because you allowed the foreskin to cover your heart again. So tonight God is requiring of us, remove it again. Remove it again. Oh God, I circumcise my heart. I circumcise my heart. I circumcise my emotions, oh God. I repent of the things that I know that are not like you. I repent of the things that the Holy Ghost has dealt with me about, and I have been unwilling to let it go. Tonight is tonight. You don't have to speak to my heart again. You don't have to tap me on my shoulder about it again. You don't have to do it. I yield myself to you. I yield myself to you. I yield myself to your way. Oh God, I circumcise my heart. I give myself away. Come on, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I know God gave me to preach to somebody in this house. Come on, rend your heart. Rend your heart. Tear your heart apart before God.
Can you use me? Give myself away.
Oh, God.
I give myself to you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
I give myself away. So you can use me. Give myself away. Gonna give myself away.
Come on, that's it. Circumcise your heart tonight. Circumcise your heart. Circumcise that bad attitude that God been working with you on. Amen. Circumcise those bad thoughts. Amen. Circumcise it tonight. Yes, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, that's it. I want to be right with you, God. I want to be right with you, oh God. I want your mercy. I want your grace. I want relationship. I want relationship with you, Jesus.
I give myself away.
Give myself away.
So you
can use me. I give. I give myself away.
I give myself away. So you.
So you.
So you.